Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Here we go again.
Yeah.
A wild swing at the world here.
Yeah, well, this tonight's wild. Okay. Tonight's wild. Trying to even get through the door of the healing room was a challenge. Okay. So, okay, once again, we're revisiting feminine rage, and we got a piece of the puzzle that is such a gift, and it came in Friday night on the final eclipse. I'm almost speechless about this one. It's so damn powerful, and so much is happening around it and so quickly that I'm having a hard time getting a handle on it. I'll just say that. I will say that it's going to allow us to get very, very clear about processing our rage and why we need to do it, and also about embodying the goddess on the planet. They've really been focusing my energy to... tonight is very significant in terms of making this announcement. There's a lot of cosmic energy behind this. This is not just planetary. It's big, everybody, I got to tell you. It's really big. And Veronica, you read energy, so if you're reading my energy, it's all over the map right now. And so, okay, so show dedication to the healing of feminine rage on and off the planet. So a few little notes, Ronnie, I didn't even get notes off to you.
How am I going to know what to say?
You never run out of things to say, my darling. Talking about the last solar eclipse, which was in Cancer, and it was the third of a super powerful mega shifting eclipse series right about, let's see, now you're all feeling very clear around where you are still underestimating, undervaluing, and undercaring for yourself. And I think this stuff has been coming up for a lot of people. Your soul's not taking a back seat anymore in any attempt on your part to squish yourself back into the back seat or into someone else's driver's seat, for that matter, is not going to have a happy outcome. Do you realize that you are more than you realize? I just kind of snipped some of these out that I just thought were so phenomenal, because this has been such a ride. We're here on Earth to take an amazing evolutionary step, to step into our authentic selves consciously and then consciously create our reality here in the physical. And this is back to Bonnie, by the way. Her website, livealifethatyoulove.com. She's got some phenomenal processes on there for creating that are just wonderful. So, again, I have to give her a big push, because creating our reality is the next step. I mean, it's always been there, but it's really big now. What illusion has been holding you back from freedom? A belief that you're not worthy, not powerful, or not abundant? Today, let go of the knot that has become the not, K-N-O-T, blocking the flow of who you really are. Today, it's less about acting as if you are acting. Today, it's about acting as if you are already worthy, powerful, and abundant, and more about letting go of acting as if you're not. The July 1 eclipse Friday was so powerful because it was in alignment with the galactic center. And I can tell you, it was in alignment with the galactic center. It's our Earth and the Sun's alignment with the galactic center that is triggering our major evolutionary shift. So the message of it is relevant not only for that day, but generally relevant for this entire time period, as we move into the next 18 months or so. The current eclipse series highlighted this message from several different angles, supporting us in a heightened and accelerated way to finally, really, truly get this. This is greater than a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's a once-in-26,000-year opportunity to use the galactic center energies as a force propelling us to become self-aware, conscious creators on the magnificent physical plane of planet Earth. Turn your light on to full, because having it on dim is so old reality. I love that. The July 1st solar eclipse falls in Cancer, again Friday. The energy of the goddess, the divine feminine. So, I'm going to do the best that I can to explain what happened. If it doesn't make sense, I really apologize. I'm having a great deal of difficulty putting this experience into human language. And I don't know where Spielberg is, but I could really use him about now. He tends to be my go-to guy. Veronica, I know you can relate to this because some of the things that we're experiencing right now are so surrealistic.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to convert them into any form of human language is so limiting, it just diminishes everything. You know, instead of enhancing it, we used to be able to use language to enhance an experience. Language has now become kind of a, what? So on Friday of last week, on the last clip, last session of the day, I'm working with this extraordinary being who is very Syrian. All of her guides are Syrian. She didn't even know that, but clear as a bell, beautiful being. Oh, we were doing a power retrieval. For those of you that don't know what that is, we're working between the client and, generally speaking, a parent, although we've done them with other family members and other people, significant others, etc. And she mentioned that she had experienced rage and was really shocked that she had seen her mom and experienced real rage. It just came flying up, and she was a little shocked about it. So we're in her mom's third chakra, which is power, magic, manifestation, and emotions.
Her mom's on the other side?
No, her mom's alive.
Okay.
And we're going around the tunnels. Now, when we work in the caves, there are tunnels that come off all around like spokes of a wheel. And there are beings in there. Because every chakra is a world. And this is the seven worlds that Christ talked about. Okay? The more I work with the chakras in this capacity, the more I've had people who poo-pooed the work and said, oh, it's just a process. No, it's not a process. This is the real deal. And the more I've done it, because when I first started doing this, I thought, you know, one would think it would be exciting, but for me, after the initial excitement wore off, it was like, oh, God, I got to do that again, you know. But the excitement has been that it continues to build and build and build and build with understanding and healing and clearing. So we're going around, we've done the chain, we've done this, we've done that, we're going around the tunnels. And I'm generally kind of out there. You know, if something very serious happens, I'll come flying in on the windshield, because that's just what happens. And we were at one of the tunnels, and the team had stopped her because some of the tunnels, the lights weren't on in the tunnels, and the team explained, no, 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 we don't leave those like that. You know, we want those tunnels turned on. So they turned on the lights of one of the tunnels and cleared it out. And she had already moved on to the next tunnel. They pulled her back and said, check the tunnel again. And they were, oh, man, were they serious. And I was like, whoa, where did this energy come from? So I'm in. And she's looking down the tunnel, and she said, oh, there's this very tall, very lithe being, long blonde hair, and she's about 50 yards away, and blah, blah, blah. She was coming closer and coming closer, and so the team kept saying, look in her eyes, look in her eyes. And she said, oh, this is so strange. Your eyes are turning from blue to green, and, you know, green to blue, and they kept pressing her and pressing her. Finally, they said, this, there was a long time involved here. Finally, they said, are there slits in the eyes? After the session, she said to me, before they said that, she saw the slits in the eyes. And this being, it was very, very interesting. The team called the being forward, and when they do, and the client must ask, you know, why are you here? Whoever's in the tunnels must speak the truth. You know, there's sometimes we've had shape-shifting and, you know, some evasion, but nevertheless, it has to come out. So the team set the tone for it. And she asked her, why are you here in my mother's chakra? And she said, you don't understand. We control feminine power. And with that, okay, came this huge download. It came in like a wall where I could see. This was one of the most extraordinary experiences I've had in over 7 years. So I can tell you, this was knock your socks off. If I could have done a backflip and come out of channel, I would. I can't do a backflip and I couldn't come out of channel, but I would have. And in observing,
where are you?
I'm sorry?
Spielberg, where are you?
Yes, Spielberg, where are you? The whole essence of this was that the cycle of feeding, that our rage is fodder or food, okay? For, as I perceived the reptilians, but I had a sensing more of the draconians, and which is an aspect of reptilians. Most of you know who the draconians are. If not, you can look them up on the web, associated with the Illuminati and so on. And that this cycle, because it was a continuous feeding, we were never able to move out of the feminine rage, and it kept us locked in, locked in, locked in. Therefore, we never moved into our power. But this came as a gift. There was no animosity. There was no arrogance. From my perspective, I was so moved by the whole experience and excited. I was so excited to see this piece of the puzzle, I couldn't even speak because it changed the game like nothing I had ever seen. And Veronica, you and I have talked about this on Saturday?
Yes, on Saturday.
Okay, and when we talked about it, did you get that it changed the game?
Yeah, actually it did. Well, yeah, my interpretation is it gave us something to undo and really almost bless the undoing, let the cork out.
Yes. So what's so interesting is that this is built and built and built. I don't know if I was talking to you or to someone else when I realized that this being was the draconian queen that we had encountered during the opening of the Stargate, in disguise, nevertheless. But it was the draconian queen. And when we did the Stargate, we went to the Pleiades, and we literally, intentionally encountered the draconians, dealt with our shadow and faced them, and did not back down out of fear, but encountered them in a way that was honored by the Federation and all the associations and so on. What was so fascinating to me out of all of this, when I realized I had no judgment on this whatsoever, there was no fear, there was no judgment, there was this sensing of incredible relief and release, and honoring of the fact that everybody was doing their part, okay? We were playing a role for them. They were playing a role for us. We weren't integrated. They weren't integrated. I found this to be very fascinating. And
sounds like we were their feedlots or something.
Yes, in many, many ways. But also, they had never integrated their shadow aspect. So, in essence, because we hadn't integrated our shadow, it was a constant feeding back and forth. Okay? Now, what's interesting, without me having talked to anybody, she has gone to different people that I work with and appeared non-threatening over this last week, which I was fascinated by. Now, Natalia is here. She's moved from New York, and she's staying with me. And the house has been, the energies here have been so big that you almost just wanted to run away from home. It would have been easier to leave than to stay here while all this was going on. And she woke up one morning and she said, "We were flying last night and you were meeting with the Illuminati and I don't really know who they are." And I said, "Well, I do." I said, "But, you know, it makes perfect sense that that would be the next step." So, what has been so interesting, another person who did encounter her, her son was having something bizarre going on with his belly button, and he's a very advanced soul as well, does a lot of teaching, gets knowledge directly from the universe, has created this company that does a lot of teaching and sharing. But he's been blocked at certain turns, and he was in the shower. He was going to the doctor after a shower. And this thing burst out of his belly button.
Oh, my.
And it was a chrysalis of some type. But the team told her it was an implant. And then it came back up that whenever he was developing his company, he would go to this coffee shop and work on his computer. And there would be a being there that would sit there every time, and his eyes would go red. So I'm putting all this together, and I'm looking at the unhooking and the unhooking and the unhooking and the unhooking, and I'm saying somehow, some way, there is an unhooking of what's gone on for thousands of years where we've had cross purposes. And I see this as a huge healing all the way around for the feminine, because with men, they're dealing with their response to feminine rage as well. You know, we've talked about it as masculine rage, but really this week it came back up so clear that the men who have dealt with feminine rage, you know, from mothers, sisters, et cetera, wives, this whole piece of rage and how much it's distorted us, and how many families, okay, Veronica, you and I talked about this. I looked at my whole family, and my mother has been in. My mother is never in, okay? But because all of this is opening up and being disclosed, it's like she's come in to say, the game is over. Now I can come back in, and you can know who I am. And I'm like, bar? What? So I looked at my daughter and my grandchildren and so on, and seen how they have taken on this huge piece of dealing with feminine rage. Now, I don't know about you, Veronica, but certainly we know people that tend to run a lot of rage, and we tend to feel this reptilian energy around them. Have you noticed that about people?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And really what that's about is that when they're running all this rage, it's just being fed off of them. So they do have that around them. Doesn't necessarily mean that they are reptilian, although some people are, which is fine. But I've been fascinated as all these pieces are kind of dumping out, going, oh, geez. And even before the show tonight, I could not walk a straight line. I could barely sit up and chair, and I was like, oh, my God. Because they didn't want me dissipating the energy of this so that people who are listening, you're going to get whatever piece is appropriate for you. The biggest piece here is that it's time to put down the rage, because it has kept us from being in our power. And as long as we're not in our power, we cannot assist this planet to move forward as we had planned. And whether we put that rage out there on parents, children, siblings, government, whoever, okay, anywhere we put it, we're out of our power. And we are not embodying that aspect of the goddess. The goddess literally disappeared from our planet thousands of years ago. And we haven't really embraced that since then. And all this rage has come up since that loss of goddess. And now it's time to integrate that back in. And by doing that, we can be so much more loving. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing people's whole programs all of a sudden unwinding. Have you been seeing this, Veronica?
I guess I wouldn't quite put it that way, but I'm just looking through right now and trying to see it in that fashion. But yeah, it's very, very dramatic what's coming up in people.
Oh my God.
And the conclusion, I feel this, that so many people are coming to an ending of certain ways of being, which is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Thank you for putting it in that perspective. Yes. Where they don't have to play the role, the game, anymore.
Was it a contract?
Contract? We'll go with contract. Yes. And I would say absolutely contract. The fact that my mother has been coming in,
mm-hmm.
okay, is definitely contract.
Mm.
And watching the unhinging, I mean, it's still playing out. I'm not saying it's perfect yet with anybody. I'm just saying that as I'm watching it unhinging, every person is at a different stage. For me, what I have felt is this incredible sense of love and non-judgment. And, I mean, unbelievable sense of love and non-judgment. We know that we're all still doing this together, but as a group, I really feel that so many people came in with the intention of bringing forward rage within their family structures, or within their family contracts, and these huge, huge pieces to help the last push to move it over the top.
Hmm.
And certainly we're seeing it everywhere on the planet. The option is to become enraged. You know, the Casey Anthony case. I don't know if you've been paying attention to that, Veronica.
I didn't follow it because I don't normally, but I heard the whole verdict last night, and I'm like, what? I didn't sort of understand why it went that way.
Right. But that brought up a lot of rage, which I thought was really, really interesting, as these different, and as I look at mothers who are killing their children, mothers who are killing their husbands, you know, we're seeing a lot of this feminine rage come up and out, up and out, up and out. And not that it's not justified, okay? Not that not that it's justified to kill your children, I don't mean that. But certainly it's been suppressed and repressed to the point where we have volunteers on the planet who are playing it out in these big ways.
Mm.
To bring it to the surface, the controversy over the Casey Anthony case, I mean, it's buzzing all over the world right now. All over the world. Amazing. Just amazing to me. And regardless of how our judicial system works, and anybody who understands the judicial system understands that the system worked because there wasn't adequate evidence to convict. But you always err on the side of the accused. It's a tough one. So I had
like the O.J. Simpson thing, isn't it?
Very much so. In fact, there was a great big controversy one of the Kardashian girls, whose father, of course, was his attorney. And she made some comment on Twitter. And, I mean, it just blew up in her face because everybody was on Twitter about the fact that it was her father that got O.J. Simpson off. Hmm. And who, by the way, has now confessed to the killing. Oprah will be bringing that interview forward.
Wow. I just want to remind everybody that it wasn't illegal to kill children for misbehavior till about 1900.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Uh-uh, it wasn't very long. It's not a very long time. They're probably still in our genetic, you know, in our bellies sort of thing.
You mean up until the 1900, it was all right to kill a child?
Yeah, somewhere around there, it was all right to kill a child for misbehavior.
Oh, my God, no wonder I'm just visiting this planet. Okay.
Well, it's just sort of mesmerizing, isn't it? I mean, we are making leaps and bounds, but holy mackerel. It doesn't seem like we're very free, and there's still an awful lot of abuse and confusion.
There is. But I look at all the people that we work with and all the people that listen, and I've said this over and over again, I think you're all amazing. Because I know every one of you came in with huge contracts, and God bless you, because none of this has been easy.
So we decided to do many, many more contracts to get it over with. Am I right or am I left?
You decided to what?
To do many contracts to get it over with, but holy mackerel, eh?
Well, I think that, okay. When you say get it over with, are you talking about getting the lifetime over with, getting the incarnations over with?
Yeah, getting freed from the whole...
I think there's another piece to that, Veronica. I think the other piece to that is that we came in with a conscious intent to take on extraordinary measures. Okay? I mean, the setup for this had to be phenomenal.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To take on extraordinary measures in terms of family structures and dynamics and suppression and rage and all kinds of things, not just rage, but all kinds of things, in order to have a bigger impact on the collective to help heal the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I see that more than I see anything else. Because the fact that we can take on imprints, we don't know the real lifetimes we live, because imprints read just like a lifetime. You don't know if it's an imprint till the lifetime is over. So, you know, in our creative phase, it would make perfect sense to me to have groups of people to come in and say, okay, you know, we're going to do this setup to get to this point because we're going to come in on the planet at this timing. Or some last minute, you know, we're in the libraries, you know, searching wildly for lifetimes that would help push them to do what they wanted to do in this lifetime, to help direct the energies, to create more healing. And I would say, not just for self, because I see this as much bigger than that. The more I do this work, especially through these eclipses, the more I have come to understand that all of you, myself included, we have all taken on a huge chunk. This wasn't just about our karmic crap. Sorry, I can't even go there on that one. Because it's too big. And it's too amazing. And I've had way too many questions in this lifetime that I could not answer. Okay? Because if I had an answer to them, I wouldn't have been able to play the game out. Now I can look at them and go, okay, I get it. I actually understand. And because I understand, I have absolutely no judgment. That's the amazing part, is that it takes you out of the judgment piece, which takes you out of the rage piece, which takes you out of the victim piece, which takes you in on and on and on. And then you can help those around you to unhook, unlatch, as they're ready from the intricacy of the programs that everybody took on, because they've been really intricate and tough. Some tougher than others. You know, some were more overzealous than others. And, you know, Veronica, you were not, you know, shy in the overzealous department. Were you?
Not at all. But I still feel like I always feel like I'm somehow climbing out of something and I'm about to stand tippy-toe on it so I can...
That's the whole point, is that the more you understand it, the more you can see it for the totality of what the purpose of it was, the less attached you are to it, then you're free.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is free because they no longer have to play the role. But somebody has to, on the game board, be able to stand up and say, game over, I get it.
Break the 4-minute mile. You know how everybody ran faster after that would happen?
Yes. I mean, it's amazing to me. And the decoding, I just have to read this really quick. This was an email I got this morning. Interesting early morning hours I had this a.m. I'm not sure, but I think I had a visitation from the Draconian Queen, which you or the team please verify. I was in a half-sleep mode, saw a reptilian coming from a distance. At first, I was confused because of the head trappings, but the face was definitely reptilian in nature. I didn't see the eyes as it was at first from quite a distance. As the being moved closer, the head turned away as not to frighten me. The body was large and more like that of a dinosaur as it turned to show me a back and tail. I was viewing this in black and white. The whole image was rather muted, as though I was seeing through a filter. I felt no emotion, only silence. The being definitely wanted to show itself in a very non-threatening manner. She, parenthesis it, was there for what seemed a very long time. I didn't receive any communication except that she, it, wanted to be seen in a very non-threatening way. I need to start drawing. Who, what was this thought? And this is not the only one I've gotten. It's been really, really interesting that if we can bring together where we projected our shadow out into the world, into the universe, and vice versa, okay, and step out of this game, this healing can be universal as well as planetary. And that's where I see the enormity of this. When we step out...
Is she showing herself to be an emissary of transformation in the ending of that contract?
Yes. Very much so. Very much so. And if you look at everybody's words, it's always non-threatening, not wanting anything, but basically coming in peace.
Great.
I think that's huge. And again, the energy of the goddess, her reclaiming her energy. For me, like I said, I don't have language to explain all of this, one, to be the witness to what happened. The clarity of what happened. This was not... It was like time stood still when this happened during the session, literally. It was like, for me, being handed this huge piece that said here. Not for me personally. This isn't for me personally. It's for everybody. But to me, it was, you know, I always laugh about having the 1,000-piece puzzle without the box top, so I don't know what the hell the puzzle looks like. And and this was kind of like the key centerpiece, you know. It was like, oh, God, yes. But it's amazing what it did for me in terms of being able to look at my own family and understand, honor, step out of total judgment and the need to fix and be able to say, wow, I get it. when each one of them will wake up, and I know those that are waking up to it, but it's fine. But I understand the honor that I have. Okay, for someone like my daughter who took on a huge chunk and has played it wonderfully, but a huge chunk. And I was always fascinated why she was so much like my mother. But I get it. I absolutely get it. And the dynamic of my whole family, you know, I have a granddaughter who slept for 24 years. You know, we barely see her out of bed. But in order to kind of hold energy for this whole dynamic, because she was such a being of light, she got jaded, but she was such a being of light. And as we're peeling that stuff off so that she can reclaim it again, it's just amazing. But for me, it's just a whole different way of, I don't know why, but I have never been at such peace as I am right now, or no. Acceptance of everything. Without judgment and feeling very loving, which I think is really interesting. It's like, I get it. And it's all okay, you know, and there's nothing to judge. You know, the team has said it before. Judge nothing, love everything. And, you know, that's a hard one to swallow until you start seeing how more and more of how it works. I'm sure we're not done by a long shot. But
can the little ones remain loving now? I mean, is that possible, do you think?
Are you talking about your grandson?
I'm just talking, well, not just him, but lots of little ones, like your twin great-grandbabies that are coming.
I really do believe that they can come in, and they don't have to play that. They don't have to play as part of that. They're outside the contract.
I hope that's true, because it seems that would be such a gift for the whole collective.
It is a gift for the whole collective. This is about the whole collective, Veronica. It's certainly not just about me, but I never realized that I was sitting in the middle of such a big chunk of, you know, this whole playing out of the powerful feminine who was losing power to their rage over and over and over again. And observing it now, and it's like, God, I finally understand it all. It's so
fascinating. That makes me mad. No, I'm kidding. I'm just being funny.
I know you're funny. Okay, I'm going to go into channel here, and you can talk to the team about this. Oh, man. Right. She was a little worried we weren't going to show up. Right. Welcome, Veronica. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. And you.
Now, big pieces, if you sit with it, and we really recommend to all of you, keep a journal of where rage comes up for you. We don't care if it's in traffic or, you know, somebody who does something silly or, you know, makes some hurting comment or whatever. It really is time to be done with this. And we're not talking about stuffing it. We're not talking about suppressing it. All right. But we are talking about being aware now. Tonight, for all of you, is about understanding that you can step out, all right? It's time. You have permission. You've done what you came to do. And if you can step out of it without harming others, because that's not the intent, taking care of yourself, honoring your boundaries. Please, people. Honoring your boundaries, because that's part of dealing with rage. If you're not honoring your boundaries, then you're just going to keep feeding your rage. And nobody can do that but you. Out of self-love, self-value, so forth. But keep a journal or a little tablet. Doesn't have to be anything fancy for crying out loud. Those little paper things that flip over page, it'll fit in your purse. Where does it come up? What triggers it? What's unhealed within you? In other words, you don't just keep the journal, but for crying out loud, look at the journal. Look for the themes. Where are the themes? You're going to find them very, very quickly. A couple of days, you'll start paying attention. Oh, crap. You know, every time I'm doing this or doing that, I do get angry. I can feel the rage of, you know, family triggers it. Men trigger it. Drivers trigger it, all right? Again, playing with power, automobiles. Not being respected, being talked down to. What is it? What is it? What is it? Get to the bottom line. This is such a wonderful opportunity for all of you to embody, to be the lantern, as the channel wrote on her announcement without the end, to be a lantern of the goddess. Now, the goddess is not airy fairy. The goddess is powerful. But being a lantern of her love, of her power, of her courage, of her magic, is what you all came to do in one way or another. Think of what your life would be like if you didn't feel victimized, if you didn't feel invalidated, if you didn't feel hurt or used. And you're going to see very quickly that so much of this is internal work. What are my thoughts and beliefs about this? How am I taking care of myself? And do I really want to run rage? I have something feeding that off of me? Of course not. Because it's the antithesis of what you came here to do, which is to be the powerful beings that you are, the loving beings that you are, the beings of clarity, purpose. And to embrace everything, known and unknown. To embrace the diversity of the universe, the diversity of your planet. We know it's not easy for you to watch your news. Many of you don't watch the news at all because it's too difficult. But your news is feeding back to you what's going on your planet, what's playing out. When you can watch it without being undone, all right? Be proactive instead of reactive. We know that's not easy for all of you. Well, if I read the newspaper, if I watch television or CNN, I get depressed. Or I get angry. Or I feel hopeless. But you can do it just the opposite, you see. All right, this is going on in the world. I want to spend so much time today sending energy, working with this. I'm going to do a grid. I'm going to do a map. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's been a tragedy. I'm going to go right into meditation, work with the beings that are trying to cross over, that are in shock. I'm going to be proactive at everything I see. There's threat of war, an outbreak, possible outbreak of war, or people that are being held captive. I can project my energy there and be of assistance. These are the kinds of magicians that you are, people. We've been talking about this and talking about this. These are the kind of magicians that you are. It's time for you to stop feeling powerless and to recognize how powerful you really are. And you can't do it when you're running around in rage or feeling victimized. It doesn't match. When you're feeling hurt, left out, when you're proactive, when you're looking at everything from the powerful creator that you are, you will not feel victimized. And you will want to be proactive. And you have guides, unseen friends, beings that are waiting to work with you, waiting for you to be creative in the ways that you deal with as much as you possibly can, including your relationships. And some of these relationships are challenging. We know they are. Mother-daughter always kind of the most challenging, right? Veronica,
yes, it is.
All right?
Mm-hmm. I said, yes, it is.
Yes, of course it is. Because you're playing out the lineage of rage. So, the most important thing you can do is not judge it. Oh, that's a tough one. But when you cease to judge it, when you step outside of it and allow it to play out without judgment, you unhook from it. You're no longer part of, which we know is difficult because you have children involved. But they will know if you're not judging. And it's no fun to run rage on somebody who won't judge you. Because you don't get the feedback you're looking for. Oh, I made them suffer. I showed them. Damn it, she didn't react at all. Doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. We're not saying don't be a doormat. Not at all. Being firm in your own boundaries, in your own self-love, self-respect. Firm for your grandchildren, all of you, great-grandchildren, however many you've got. But again, not a doormat. But being able to recognize that they're playing out a much bigger game than you understand. And asking for the guidance and understanding to be able to see it a little more, a little more, a little more. Not so you can fix it. But to be able to hold the highest, lightest energy around it. Now, if any of you have children and they're beating their children, well, of course you want to say something for crying out loud. That's a boundary issue. You're hurting somebody I love. That's inappropriate. If you continue to do this, I will have to take action. That's a little different. You understand what we mean, right, Veronica?
Yes.
Now, taking abuse from others, from people who've been abusive to you, you don't need to do that. But you also don't need to fix them. When they know that you're not there to fix them anymore, they can have a different kind of relationship. They don't have to do the push-pull with you. You've had a lot of that, Veronica, with them.
Yes. Always a new level of pulling away. Now, I don't feel like I'm pulling away now. I feel like something got completed finally.
Good. That's important.
It's very empowering feeling in a way.
Absolutely, because you're not wallowing. Well, we don't like to use that word in a condescending manner at all. But as children, even though you're adults, there still is this sensing of being rejected, mm-hmm. of still seeking parental approval somewhere, even if you're seeking it through siblings. Love me, include me. Don't reject me. All I want to do is be loved. When they're off running a totally different agenda than you are, when you can step out of it and say, I leave you all to work it out through whatever avenues you need to. And if you call on me or if you call me, you contact me, I will step in, but with very secure boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to be rude to me. Sorry. I'm not rude to you. I don't expect it from anyone else. I don't allow that. That should be respected, and they'll either respect you or not talk to you for a while, because you won't play the game.
We have to draw. You have about 2 minutes.
All right. Go ahead and talk about your show, dear one.
My show on Tuesday night is at 8 o'clock on Paradigm Shifters is Suzanne Eder, who's talking about how to deal, 10 ways to deal with panic in these changing times. She's really quite a profound intuitive and has a wonderful book, and I know it's going to be quite inspiring for us all.
Good.
And she's at solidgram.com is her website. And we just talked a lot about the debris from the eclipse and in Radiance by Design, and I think we're going to continue with that. Not just the eclipse, but the changes we're all going through, and I feel like from this show as well will be a wonderful discussion at 7 o'clock next Thursday.
Good. Profound changes, everyone. Profound.
Profound.
Now, we would like to work with all of you in the dream time over 2 nights, everyone. 2 nights. For some of you, it might even be 3. Reuniting you with those parts of yourself that you have disconnected from, left behind, buried, not wanted to look at or own, so that you can take them out, look at them, embrace them, and see the beauty in them. As a race, for whatever reason, you've always felt badly about things that you did, but it's time now to look at these things and even if you made mistakes in your process, be able to embrace and forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and let go of this. We love you. We know that you are all here to change the game on planet Earth. And for those that choose, and the universe as well, your reach is greater than you think. Please, people, stop playing small. We've said this so many times. Don't give it to your ego, give it to you. Honor what you've come in to do. try to look at the bigger picture in your family, in your relationships, and why you've chosen them. Even the scary ones. We will work with you in the dream time in those areas. Remember, nothing we do is ever meant to hurt you or to frighten you, ever. We love you, we trust you, we are excited about what you're doing. And the potential realities that lay before you are so amazing. But you have to start letting go of the jagged rocks to get there. We think you're ready to do that. We love you, dear ones, and until we speak with you again in this format, judge nothing. Look out there and recognize that everything is evolving, not just you. Namaste, dear ones.
Namaste.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay, good. Next week I'm having surgery, so I won't, more than likely will not be doing the show on Thursday night. I'm really being gentle with myself during this one, because I'm, this is my time to get a clean slate. And God knows I put my bladder through enough hell. Familiar rage. Huh?
All being pissed off.
Yes, thank you very much. So, Veronica and I love all of you. A piece of us is in every one of you. A piece of you is in us. It can be no other way. We really are all one. I think you're all fabulous. Veronica, I love you so very much.
Thank you. And you too. We'll be thinking of you next week.
Okay, Tuesday morning. Send good thoughts. Okay.
Tuesday
morning,
it is. 7:30.
Much love, everyone.
Much love. Good night, Jackie.
Night.
Night, everyone.